Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 160 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
And here we are. So today's topic is London GT and Ego Roller 21. I didn't sign off on Ego Roller 21. It's wow. Winter Roller 2021. Thank you very much.
Ego Roller to the people in the know.
Ego Roller, go on. Yeah.
So what flavour beer you got today? What's this all about?
So I've been subscribing to this Red Church stuff for deals, and this is Hoxton Stout.
I like a stout.
Yeah,
it's 5%, something like that.
5%, yeah, exactly.
Very nice. Yeah. Is it a flavored stout? I don't like the chocolatey and the bloody fruity ones.
No, it's a beery stout,
bog standard.
But
lovely.
It came in one of these mixed beers boxes that was on sale. So there you go.
Mixed beer box. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the London GT a little bit, which is
yes, indeed.
Are we spoiling things by saying it's sold out?
No, we're not, because it's a fact. Yeah, like it's sold out.
And you're not gonna just do the sixth round to get another 32 players in?
I will talk about that when we come to the topic, because there are pros and cons, and I will go when we come to that as the subject, we will talk about it.
Okay, right. Okay, so we don't really need to talk about the fact that we've had a little bit of a reshuffle on our Zoom, so we got to do things slightly differently. But we do need to talk about that we're not recording as many podcasts as we did.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. Why is that?
Well, that's your fault, isn't it?
But is it?
Yeah. Well, you're the one who pretends to be busy. I'm the one who actually is busy and makes time for it.
Life is. What do you mean? I tried to record last week and you weren't around, or the week before.
Well, anyway, because you engage with me late in the day, but you normally pull out rather than me.
So life is opening up a little bit. That is fact.
Yep.
Fact. And one thing we don't want to be doing too much of is sitting in front of the computer screens. I'd rather be doing things in real life, like playing games, etc.
Yep.
So I don't think it'll be that much less, because there have been periods where we haven't done more than one or two a month anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Barry, you dictate this. Like, as we always have done, you are the limiting factor, not me.
Well, one thing we have done is we have offed our financial burden of hosting.
Yeah, I guess that was warranted. So our back catalogue is now only available from Blackgate Miniatures website, with only the most recent podcast available from Podbean. You say recent, is it like the last 10?
So it's the last, in reality, it's the last 500 megabytes of recording. So if we make it really low quality recordings, we could get loads of them on there. But I quite like the quality we've got. So whatever.
I mean, like, as long as that website is easy to find, as in, you know, where it is, and it's the right place for it to be, the our back catalogue. I had a look at it the other day. Yeah, so we just direct people to where our back catalogue is.
The only issue is I can't find a way of that loading into a podcast app. I don't know what happens in the background to make that kind of thing happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you can still listen to us in the way you always have done. It's just, if you wanted to go back to a specific one, then you just go on the website.
Yeah, beyond
that's not a major problem.
No, I mean, you get the latest six or whatever, and then beyond that, you have to go.
I mean, any podcast I listen to, I'm not interested after, like, you know, by that point. Yeah.
Well, some people do go back and listen. I have seen a bit of that.
It's been asked, but there we go. That's how you can do it. Yeah, so it's okay.
Mm. Yeah, and the alternative to doing that is like starting a Patreon and all this bollocks. No, and I really can't be arsed with it.
No, not for what we've got.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always said, it's like, if we were taking any money for this at all, we would have to make it better. You know, and you know, I'd rather it was free and nasty. Like any good STD.
less plentiful than a good STD. So the reason why I chose Blackgate is I had to find somewhere. We could have used a Google Drive, I guess, but that's a bit crappy. So at least this way there's a bit of a front end where you can actually look at the name and click on a button and download it. And as I've already got a pony up for the hosting fees of Blackgate, for as long as Blackgate exists, it might as well use that resource to store this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy. Obviously, I'm happy to contribute.
It don't cost you any money, so that's good.
Yeah.
gets you off the hook.
Yep.
Because that's the one strange thing about podcasts. I mean, it's been like this since the beginning, but people don't realize it costs you money to do a podcast. You are never making money. No, unless you're somebody with millions of views.
It's not cost us significant money.
No, but it's probably cost us like 500-600 plus I've had to spend on equipment. Because we go half each, it's about 100 a year.
I enjoy the thing. Yeah, I enjoy the thing.
But yeah, we didn't want to get into Patreon, so it's gone. It's done.
Yeah, cool.
And what that allows us to do is we can focus a little bit more on YouTube, because that's free hosting.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll always be available in black and white as a podcast.
Yep.
But we should be able to get some more battle reports. The other thing is podcasts and battle reports are a bit they're like mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
We tried to do it where we do a battle report and a podcast, but you kind of do a bit of neither.
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously, if it means we're doing less of this, but we're doing more YouTube stuff, then I'm well happy with that.
Because although we only did a couple of podcasts in the last month or so, we did two games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And those games took 2 or 3 hours to record and set up, and another couple of hours or something to edit and put up and stuff. So, the amount of podcasts might go down, but the content should stay the same. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what matters, really.
That's what matters, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially with the influx of new players into the game system. It's seeing the game being played. Yeah, definitely.
Seeing the power of the Leadership 7 and the Leadership 8.
in my stuff, I've got something definitely to say about this coming up. Okay, so cool. All right. So, Barry, do you want to talk about point D here? Do you like think it's
No, no, that was just for you. That was for you. That was
okay.
The show notes. I'm not going to put it up. But one thing that has happened is I am really, really fucking bored to death now of being behind a computer screen.
That's your problem. That's not mine.
I know. I'm saying it is. But that's part of the kind of house husband, conundrum mole person. I mean, it is. I'm enjoying going to the gym so much. I mean, God help him if Chris Whitty or somebody was watching what actually goes on in the gym. Because I swear to God, just because a window's open, people think they can do whatever the fuck they want. They're going around in groups of six, like sharing equipment and stuff. And it's all fucking mad. It's mad.
I am sure Chris Whitty, who is probably quite a clever man, would know that people are taking the piss and can't follow the rules because they don't want to follow the rules. And that's probably all factored into their overall situation, isn't it?
Let's hope so. Because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to only take your mask off when you're actually exercising. Mm. But basically, no. Apart from I wear my mask in and out of the gym and where I can, realistically. But people don't even go in the fucking gym with a mask on. Yeah, they go all around everywhere. They're sat in the fucking canteen, reading and drinking. It's just like... It's like, if you can imagine the kind of people that go to a gym.
Yeah.
The kind of roid heads.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not worried about COVID. They're not worried about anything, are they, apart from more roids?
Apart from looking good in the gym, yeah.
Apart from looking good in the gym. So.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. And, that's entirely expected. Yeah, like people only do the rules until they feel they can get away with it. Like, that's the only reason they obey the rules of society and laws is because they think they can get until they feel they can't get away with it.
So if you only went to like supermarkets and restaurants and stuff and then went to a gym, it would be like going to a different planet, because you're like, oh my God, there's nobody wearing any masks.
I mean, obviously my thoughts about face, these aren't, I think mask is misleading because mask is like a fancy dress mask, like they're face coverings, and my thoughts about face coverings are very low.
That's good. Right, so one thing I do have to say, and it's quite sad to do this because I don't like not doing something I've said I was going to do, but I'm also relatively good at saying no and saying I've had enough, I need to stop.
You are definitely good at that.
I am, yeah, I'm right. So I am not going to be completing the rest of my fixtures in my Discord league.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I've never known you to carry through with anything, Barry.
Well, that's strictly true. We're on episode 160.
I suppose, aside from this. Yeah, but go, why is that?
Because I just can't do it anymore. I can't play Warmaster on a screen anymore. I can't do it. I've played a couple of games in real life, and it just makes me sad playing on a screen.
Well, I told you that.
Like, yes, but when your choices are eat maggots, because that's the only food available, or starve to death.
Okay, yeah.
Then you'll eat maggots. If that's what you got. But I can't do it now. I can't. It's too slow. I'm too slow at doing it. I'm not computer illiterate, but I don't spend all day on computers. So it takes me ages to do things, and I get frustrated with how fiddly things are. Mm. I just don't want anything to, it's like, I just want to put all that now in a little cupboard. I enjoyed my games and I enjoyed meeting people, but they were the bad times.
I get it. Because I've been eyeballing up Total War Warhammer 3, and it's like, because I'm, I know that when I start playing that game again, it will be the thing. It's really fun and addictive. So I haven't been doing it recently because I've had non-medical prescriber exams to do and a lot of work to do. But the time is coming. I'm arrowing up a niche of time. I'll crab another crack at it. It's not that it's out yet, but they did like a recent. I haven't tried the latest updates to Total War 2. But of course, on that, it's obviously a computer game. It's dedicated to play, and it's like fun, isn't it? It's like it's designed, like it's to be very. Oh, what's the right word? Easy to use. While your tabletop simulator is a reskinning, isn't it? And it's harder to use. It's So I totally hear what you're saying with that.
So it's way harder. I mean, with the best one in the world and people trying to do their best to play, games take 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, and
I want to play 3 games in 4 to 6 hours. I don't want to play a game. It's just too long.
This comes onto the stuff that I've been up to, definitely, because I'm exactly the same as you. And we, you're not a slow player at Warmaster, and I'm quicker than you, and that would frustrate me too much. Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, I do feel guilty, but I will do all the admin. I'll see the league out that way. I won't abandon it or anything. I don't have the motivation to play the game, so I'm not going to punish myself. I'd rather like go and play a real life game, as mean as that might sound. But that's because I'm able to.
Yeah, because life has changed. Like, we're at the end of this pandemic, and those things, like currently outside, that's what you can do, and soon in a week's time you can do it in.
It's not a week, it's Monday.
Yeah, Monday then. Okay, so what day of the week are we?
Thursday.
So soon, after the weekend.
Yeah, after the weekend, I'm seeing my parents. I've already got a couple of games in the pipeline, maybe indoors. Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll record them, maybe I won't, but I mean, it's just, you've got to have a motivation to do something. And when you lose that motivation, you kind of force yourself to do it. But then why are you doing that? Why, as a punishment? No, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So that was a big one. And I apologize to everybody who's been involved in the league if you feel that's some kind of like letdown. But life's full of letdowns.
Complaints can be sent in the mail. Like, address them to somebody else.
See more butts.
Yeah, see more butts.
Right, so that's me done. What have you got to say, Paul?
Games-wise, it's been quite cool. I played my first proper one-on-one game of Black Powder, Napoleonics. Took my French that I painted up in lockdown and took them out against Rid's Portuguese, and we played
Portuguese. That. They're awful, aren't they?
No, anyway.
In Napoleonics?
No, they were quite good. I mean, they're very similar to British. They were trained by British.
All right.
So anyway, my point is that we played this game of Napoleon of Black Powder. Now, I really liked it. It was you would really enjoy it, Barry. Its command system was very similar to Warmaster, it was very. It's in Napoleonic circles. It seems to be like it's criticized Black Powder as being too simple. Or it's like it's not you know it's, what. Whatever, thanks, Batman. My wife's taking the piss at me already.
I wonder if this Field Marshal Paul Winter's going to show up on the screen. I don't know if it will or it won't.
He's sitting right fucking here. Right, okay.
But you're not a Field Marshal, are you?
No, because that rank is only exists in the time of war. There's been like 3 field marshals in the history or something.
That's a bit egotistical, isn't it?
Well, I put that name on there because it was an officer's mess function, a virtual thing. So I was like, right, fuck it. That's my rank. I outrank everybody.
You had a virtual officer's mess?
Yes, we did, yes.
So what happened at the end of the night when you all get your willies out or whatever you do?
Well, obviously, it was screen to screen and that wasn't recorded. anyway, so my point is this black powder. And so you have your commanders. They aren't very high commanders. So me and Rid both were playing with Command 7 and Command 8, like, you know, brigade commanders. And it's a simple 2d6, like, roll to check your command with some modifiers, not many. But the scale of what you pass and what you fail it on is what you get to do. So you have to declare up to 3 moves, like, that you're going to try for. And if you pass the command roll 3 less, or, you know, less than 3, you actually pull off all those 3 things. And you can't pre-measure, and you have to carry through with what you said you were going to do.
No pre-measure?
No pre-measure. So
that's a reversal, isn't it? Because War Master is 100% pre-measure.
Is it pre-measure? Anyway, no. But it's like you say, you're like saying, like, okay, so my 54th Regiment of Line, French, is going to deploy from column into line, advance to this point here, and engage the enemy. And then you roll to see what you get. And it can go very wrong or very good.
If you say, I need an 8, but I'm going to do 3 orders, I need a 5 or whatever.
Well,
and
your scale
I miss,
of success.
I don't do anything.
Your scale of success. So if you rolled a 9, you don't do anything. But if you rolled an 8 on the nose, you do the first thing. And then if you rolled a 7, you do the first and second thing, etc. Right. And it's cool. It was like, but it allowed me and Rid, considering, like, I'd not played this game properly yet. We smashed it out in under 2 hours. And that was a proper, you know, 6x4 game.
So what's the disincentive for me just issuing 3 orders?
That's what you always say, isn't it? Yeah, it's like there's no disincentive.
Right, okay. Because it didn't look like a disincentive. I just might not get them all. But yeah.
Exactly. It's just if you did roll well and you realized, oh, hang on, this is going to be a problem, you still have to do it. You still have to carry it through. So it's a bit like gentleman's agreement, really. It's clearly a game that is designed for people that know each other to play. Yeah, because in like me versus you.
So this is not a tournament game then. This is not a tournament style game.
It does have events, I think, and we are going to run one, but it's very much like, don't be a dick. You know, like, it's kind of like prerequisite. And you play like in the spirit of, you know, Napoleonic. So like, basically, like my French were trying to, like, they were trying to take a central town. I've sent in some regular infantry because that's what the French would do. And then when they did something, but when they were repulsed, I sent in the old guard who beat some Portuguese up and then got overwhelmed eventually. But I was like, I'll send in the old guard. But it's like, it's like, and you get to use all the iconic stuff of Napoleonics.
So, surely you shouldn't be sending in the old guard ever.
Well, exactly, because Napoleon never would do that. You know, like, but yeah, any, never mind.
Unless he's just mopping up like stragglers.
So I really enjoyed it. And you would like it too, Barry. I'll have to show
you. Well, I wouldn't like it in 28 mil. I've got
I mean, totally. I can see, yeah, definitely, the game, even when the game system itself, it says, okay, this is our recommended unit size at a 28 mil scale. It doesn't have to be. Like, it can be whatever scale you want it to be. So, no, completely, we are playing it at the wrong scale, because even a small points game on a 6x4, field of 6x4 of table. Because
really?
Units, massively. Like, because, units can move through each other, and that's kind of what you do, because like you start taking casualties, but you never remove models. It's always as you put down casualties, and then when you've hit your stamina level and you take casualties, you check to see if unit just disappears. So I guess it's a bit like Kings of War. You don't remove models.
Okay, yeah.
But you do have things where you get tactics where, so say you have a regiment of line firing, taking casualties, then you're like, I need to bring them back. So they literally move through some other, the second line, and they start taking it on. And they can recover, but not completely. You know, so, yeah, there's some really interesting mechanics in. The only thing I think it didn't represent in Napoleonics was the fog of war. Was because everything's black powder, you know, the smoke that these guns would produce, you can't see. After a few volleys, you couldn't see what was in front of you, and it can't, obviously it doesn't represent that, you know, but people's criticism of it, of them saying, oh, it's a too simplistic a game system, but you finish it like General de Brigade or some, or one of the other bigger named Napoleonic systems, you'll never finish. So what's the point in playing it? Like, you know, as in, you play it at any scale and it takes too long to play. You know, I'm told. You know, and it's like...
No, there are certainly a lot of tables generally cross-referencing this against that. And
yeah, yeah. And there doesn't need to be. Like, it's in terms of, if you boil it down to literally, like, so the standard, the smallest unit in the game is a battalion, and it can do 3 shooting attacks and you hit on 4s. And it's like, so it's very Warmaster in that sense.
Yeah. Very Warmaster. Yeah. Cannons, are they cannons as good as they are in Warmaster? Well,
cannons are good if you're firing at columns. Yes, they are. and yeah, but they're not going to win you the game. And you can't actually take, you can't like take, oh, I take loads of cannons. You can't. You can only take, no, most of the army lists only allow 1 cannon unit per 6 other units.
Is a line of sight like a beam weapon, like a base width in a straight line or something?
No, it eggs out at like 45 degrees.
All right, so but standard it does, fantasy
but it gives,
stuff.
But it gives you very, very clear rules of whether something's obscured or not. And if it's obscured, it's -1, and that's it.
Right, yeah. Just hit on a 5, okay.
Yeah, basically, unless you're close, you know, which like it's the +1.
You've got a grape shot? That kind
no,
of stuff?
The cannons. Well, yes. So the British can fire shrapnel because that was their thing. They could do that.
Right.
But there isn't like cannons just fire. You know? So each of the nations has some unique army rules into it, which makes, so basically the French are very good at attacking, are very good at moving in column. So if they're in column, they get +1 to command, and they become reliable, which means they will always go one order. Yeah, which is quite cool. Yeah, so it's like French are very good at going forward, yeah, which is their style. Anyway, played that. Played some Epic Armageddon as well. A few games of that since we last recorded.
Nice. Who are you playing that with, Anthony? Or
George and Anthony. I played them.
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. Yep. And he's got Eldar, and I'll be using my World Eaters. Though I also played a Marine list with him as well, which is pretty cool. Cool. Yeah, Eldar. God, they're good. Yeah, I still haven't won a game.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, like,
you still not won a game?
Still not won a single game of Epic.
Well, you're playing against people less experienced than you now as well.
Yes, I taught George and lost, and he beat me. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I really like Epic Armageddon.
I haven't played a game of Epic Armageddon in 10 years.
Well, I'll have to play you a game.
Well, yeah, the Blood Angels are nearly ready.
Yeah. And I mean, I can bolster them up with my ultramarines to give you an actual force.
We don't want those blue smurfs. We've got
yeah, but you do actually want a force, don't you? Like yeah, like you do follow the Codex Astartes, you just like also drink blood, you know, like I need you to print me some stuff off. We'll have to talk afterwards. Really enjoyed that, and we're going to run an event of that, I think, and we're looking to play a game of Net Epic at George's, 4 of us play a game of Net Epic, because that's the system that allows you, a Space Marine, that's the system that allows you to go really scale up, really go out, like, and have entire battle groups and Titans, Battle Force of Titans walking around, and it works. Yeah, well, Epic Armageddon wouldn't work that way. It scales to, well, to 3,000 points, but it shouldn't go beyond that, really.
See, I find that points limit quite small. I'm building my army.
Yeah.
I've already built in. It's like, well, yeah. I haven't got half the choices that I'd want.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Yeah. Well, so,
and that's not even including the big stuff, like landing crafts and
No, exactly. Like, yeah. So I did a really cool Marine list, which had a base of a Devastator unit. So that was like, that was the only thing on the table. And then it had a Space Marine lander, landing predators, 3 Thunderhawk gunships, running Marines around. And it was like, and it was proper, it played like Marines should play with their spec ops. So basically, like, they go there, they do something, and then they get picked up again and they're off again. Like, yeah, so it was, you know, very airframe intensive in terms of like how special forces would work. And I thought it was really, it wasn't very good. I mean, its problem was, they're not packing anything that can take on a Gargan or a Titan you just have to avoid them. You know, like, you can't really fight them. But who, and in Imperial doctrine, well, who does fight Titans? Other Titans fight Titans.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. I've got, I think I've got maybe as many as three Titans.
That's massive. Different size. You can never use them.
Exactly. I was like, I've got no room for any of this stuff in a list.
No, no, no. You can't. You can't even.
It's almost as if you need a different scale game using the same engine,
which is NetEpic.
Yeah, but that's a different engine, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is a different engine. Yes. Yeah.
You need a different scale game with that engine. I don't know how it would work because I don't know the game well enough. But it feels like I'm only playing with a small portion of my army already, and you go like, well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that is weird. I mean, obviously, a guard army looks a lot bigger.
Yeah, and the Tyranid army that I printed for you would, like, there'd be, like, 10 models for every model I have.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, like Marines, for example, it's their, why they pointed ways is because their initiative is one, and their power armor is 4+. So I've
gone for Scouts, because I've got to take my Death Company. Death Company is so expensive. I just look up and go, oh my god!
Yeah, but it would be all in their rules.
Yeah. So they got 4 stands, and once you give them jump packs, they're 350 points. Like, holy shit! For 4 stands.
Yeah, but they're killers.
They've got to kill like 7 Carnifexes for that, or something.
They've got to assault something, carry the assault, not lose anybody, and then be able to assault somebody else to make their points back.
Yeah, but I'm sure that like a Carnifex is 50 points.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, I think it is. In my head, I could see. Yeah. And what, 4 stands of assault marines against 7 Carnifexes? That can't be right. They're not that good.
But it'd be also down to how they activate as well.
Yeah. I'd have to play the game more. But
you'll see when you play it, you'll see that 1+ initiative is really good.
Which is why I'm going for Scouts as my base troops.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Because they're the cheapest option we got. And they've still got 1 initiative, haven't they? Mm. I don't think they have power armor, do they? They have some lesser power armor,
I don't know.
I guess.
But yeah, again, I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, in normal Scouts, they don't have power armor, do they?
Barry, it's a game system where until you've played it, you won't understand what you need to do.
I have played it, but it was just a long time ago.
Yeah, but like,
and I played with Eldar, and everything was jumping out of warp gates and just killing everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's no lesson. Oh, cool. Also played Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire. You know, Simon's 28mm game, and that's really coming into its own now. So that's because they've got enough of it out, enough factions are out, they've refined the game system, and that's really fun to play. You don't need to know the Game of Thrones fluff for it to
who doesn't know it?
Well, I'm just saying you wouldn't need to.
Yeah, but who is this person that plays war games that hasn't watched Game of Thrones?
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I've been really enjoying that, and I've picked up a few good sales on eBay where like more like battalion, more starter armies have been sold dirt cheap. So
because people are wanting out of it?
No, I don't know. But I mean, it's maybe I don't know. It's like there's not a lot on eBay, I wouldn't say, but I have found some deals. It also helps that the starter sets for a faction are such good value compared to they're far cheaper than their components.
Oh. Right, that does help.
Yeah. So played some games of that, and that's really sweet. Also, Middle Earth strategy battle game. So me and Phil are going to a doubles event. I jokingly suggested we should do it in fancy dress, and OG Phil, and then OG Phil went and bought a Gandalf costume.
So who are you going to be?
Saruman.
Gimli.
Saruman. We're going
Frodo.
As wizards.
Frodo.
We're going as wizards. Wizards.
You could be Bilbo.
Could be. Yeah, like.
You could have been Sam and Frodo. That would have been much better.
Yeah, that would have been. That, I said to him afterwards, that would have. But he'd already spent it. He was so keen. He has been in the house for 15 months. He bought it already. And I was like, A, I was only half joking. And B, other pairs of rings would have been better, but never mind.
You actually had Saruman's stuff.
Yeah, I got it back from Eric. I got it back from Eric.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you gave it away.
Yeah, I know, and he's giving it back. So we're going to go in June to this doubles event dressed up as wizards.
Nice. And get the wooden spoon, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Phil's terrible at the game. But, but I will let him play it badly. Like, it's not my place to tell him what to do. this is my place just to laugh.
His army was good against my army the last game we played, because he had some buffs that negated the Army of the Dead's attacks against.
But you still
courage.
Won.
I don't know how I won, but
yeah, you see,
win.
You still won. Yeah, like Phil can't buy a win. Like
I don't know how I won. Honestly, I don't know how I won. But well, I do know Aragorn just did it all on his own.
Yeah, because he's Aragorn. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he is Aragorn. Not quite Sauron levels of goodness. He was lunacy. That fella.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? They're British, you know.
Main topic, Paul.
Main topic, right. So
I've got to say now that this bit that I've used between the first bit and the main bit, it is probably the greatest sample I've ever found in my life. I love it. When you hear it, you'll know.
Oh, music, right, okay.
No, it's
right,
not music, okay. It's speech, but you'll hear it and you'll go, yes, sir, yes.
Okay, so the London Grand Tournament is something I've been asked to run War Master events at before. It obviously didn't happen in the pandemic, and it's back, and it's in September the 25th and 26th, and also the Friday before that. And I was asked to run the War Master at that, and the fantastic thing about it is that it's sold out. So it's taken, I've gotten 32 tickets, sold them all. I'm the 33rd player. You don't need to pay, Barry, because you're like, you're in there to do the recording.
I'm just media now.
You're just media.
Just like snorting cocaine and running around, whatever media people do.
And
clicking my fingers a lot.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And I've been gathering up all the support for it and everything. And it's fantastic. So I'm running the most attended War Master event since the game was on the shelves. So
are you sure that they did the Scottish lads not get past this number?
No, they did not.
Have you asked them before you claim?
Well, I just did it, didn't I? Like
you just claimed it. You don't know the answer. It anyway.
Yeah, it was in the high 20s there.
Good for them. Well, and it's not. Have you got reserves list?
I do. Yes. Yeah. So I'm in this position now where it's like I'm actually. I did not think I would sell out because the world is a bit unsure of itself. And there's no internationals, coming.
No.
There's no one from Scotland coming.
Well, they're international, aren't they now?
Well, bar Janners.
Well, they have different rules, don't they? Everything's different. Yeah.
So there's no one aside from one outside of England. And what that tells me is that 2022, which is already a date they've announced of when it is, I'm going to have to run a 64-man event.
Well, what's the reason you're not doing it this time?
Well, it's because a 32-man event in a Swiss tournament is a 5-round event. When you start pushing over that, it gets to possibly 6 rounds.
It is 6 rounds, but just assume it's 6 rounds.
No. Right now it's 5 rounds.
No, but say you, because the next round brings in potentially 32 more players.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah.
Which is a massive jump. You might not even have space in the hall for that many players. To be fair,
there's definitely space in the hall. Yeah, like they're not. The one thing this venue is not shy on is space.
Right.
But what
about terrain? Because you potentially need to find another 16 tables worth of terrain. It's a big leap going from 16 more clocks, for example. It's a big leap.
So what I've squared away is the resources to do 16 tables. What I can't do is I can't definitely say I'd have the resources by September for 32 tables. No, that is, you're exactly right, Barry. So I have kept a reserve list, but if the reserve list makes it warranted to try to do to open it up to sell them tickets to get them tables, but I'm honestly I don't see it happening. Really, I think that it will stay as it is, a sold out event, and it will be fantastic.
Always leave them wanting more.
And it's like, I'm really looking forward to it, not only because, of the pandemic, but also 32 players. I thought we might sell 16. yeah, I thought that was...
Well, they're not exactly cheap, are they? I mean, it's not like...
No. Now, I know that yourself has, you know, has moaned, because you, Barry, you moan, you know, like, about, like, the price of the ticket to what it is, etc. Yes, but I agree with you, Barry. It is, because it's 40 quid a ticket, and...
Well, it's come down. I'm sure it was more than that, wasn't it, last time? Was it...
No, it was
50. Yeah. Oh, no, discount 40. For you.
Yeah.
For Warmaster.
No, it's but... And obviously, now, well, you've got to look at the bigger picture, is that this event, the London GT, is a 40K tournament. You know, it doesn't, if you took away 40K, it doesn't happen. If you took away any other of the systems, even AOS, it still runs. It's a 40K event. Now, us, with our happy 32-man event, we're small fry compared to that. Like, you cannot expect the organisers to... really matter care about us.
Okay, yeah, but 32 man is nothing.
I know.
I mean the last time we were there, there were game systems with like eight players, players.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, like, you're far bigger than those.
Yeah, we are now. Yeah, which is great. But you know, I can't expect, I don't think it would be reasonable to like to say to the main guy, because there's only one man who puts this all together, like to say to him, oh, we need this and we need that, and you know, because it's in our ticket price, etc. You're trading on the name of it. Like I know we could run an event, say Bad Moon Shop, you know, like a cafe.
Yeah.
But we would have the same problems there in terms of they are scaled for a 28 mil scale game, because that's the mainstream. We're not mainstream. And it's like, but what he has, what the guy running the LGT has done is that if we needed it, like he's gotten us all the 2D scenery for every table. So we're going to do use 3D scenery, but that is our backup. So say, but we're relying on some players bringing some scenery, because I don't have 16 tables worth of scenery.
Nobody has 16 tables.
Like, you know, so, but if something happened and somebody couldn't make it for whatever reason, it still happens because there's 2D scenery. And simply, 2D scenery in Warmaster works perfectly fine. Like, you know, you can use it. Like, it doesn't lessen the game at all. So that is the plan B if needed be. But it won't be needed be, because I've already got the reassurances that myself and others can provide 16 tables worth of scenery.
Cool.
Yeah. And then for the following year, it'll be, yeah, I'll give, you know, I'll start getting it together for a 64 man event.
Ooh.
Which hopefully will sell.
Still at the London GT?
At the London GT.
Okay,
yes.
Right, cool. So yeah. What's the plan on the Saturday night then? Because that's the only other thing people will want to know. I've heard that the hotel's an hour away. That can't be true, is it?
No, an hour away?
That's what I was told. It wasn't me.
But... Well, yeah, but why are you repeating such rubbish?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking you the question. The listeners have asked me, is it an hour away walking? Because that sounds like a long fucking way.
Well, where the venue is, there's nothing worth going to that's close by.
No, we were there last time.
Yeah, like, it's just where it is, all right? So we're staying, like, a lot of the players, myself included, are staying at Wood Green Travel Lodge. And we're going out to a restaurant which is recommended in that area.
So you're
going
to drive back to the hotel?
Yeah.
There you go.
And we'll have plenty of time. We'll ferry people that need it. Like, right. it's not like... Yeah, Jesus, it's only 45 minutes from my house to Lee Valley Athletic Centre.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the hotel is not far away. It probably is an hour walk, but no one's going to need to walk.
Good.
Yeah. You know, we're going.
And you're not going out, because people need to know, because they might not be in the loop.
Yeah.
I don't know how your tickets work and stuff.
Well, I've got everybody on a WhatsApp group.
Or people might just be coming for the day, because it's free to just come round. And you want to go out in the evening. Yeah. We're not going out in the location of the event. You're going out at a different place.
Wood Green. In Wood Green.
Yeah.
Now, I need to get off Chris Orr and let a couple of names of restaurants that we recommend in that area. And I obviously then need to make a preliminary booking for probably 32 people, which is probably going to be the restaurant. You know, it's going to be a curry shop, isn't it?
It has to be. It stands to reason, sir.
Yeah, and it's like, and I'll expect most of the players are going to want to be social on the Saturday night. And so realistically, we're taking a restaurant for the whole night.
Be nice.
Yeah, just us. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like quite a proposition to give to a restaurant in terms of like, you probably want to shut to everybody else.
We did it at the SmogCon. Was it the fucking Birmingham SmogCon? We took over a restaurant and they had no bastard staff.
Yeah,
they didn't turn
us
away, but we had like 30 of us. Table.
They really lied to us, didn't they?
And we were there for like 3 hours just to eat.
3 hours, just no food. Yeah, like, yeah, they couldn't serve us. Yeah, exactly. Like, I will be very, I mean, but...
Say, this is not our first rodeo, sir. Do not say you can do this.
Table for
30.
And you can't, yeah.
Like, and have one fucking chef on.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I'll be very clear in the booking over... Can they actually manage such numbers? And then by the time we've actually eaten the food and had all the drinks, we'll go to a pub if it's still open. But I imagine we're going to settle into a restaurant for the whole night.
Okay. Cool beans. So that's good. So you've said the date, 25th,
26th. Yep.
We said the venue. It's actually somewhere. What's the name of the place?
Lee Valley Athletic Center. Which a Google will spin it straight up. There's only one Lee Valley Athletic Center.
And you're staying at the Travel Lodge in Woodgreen?
Woodgreen.
Travel Lodge.
Yeah, Woodgreen Travel Lodge.
And you've been able to book rooms for that, yeah? Or is
yes,
it not?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
that we booked that ages ago.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
I mean, not everybody's staying there. Obviously, some people are driving. Some people are... camping, even one person is, he said he was. Yeah, but it's like whatever you want. The tournament, like, is anyone interested, will be run using my tournament system.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's our next topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we do that now then. Ego Roller, as Rob has named it. Ego Roller.
Winter Roller.
for our friends. Right, here we go. Here's Ego Roller.
So you've got an older version. So
an older version? This is the latest one.
It's not much change, but there's version.
I asked you to send me the latest one.
Well, I guess I changed it since then, but it's tiny changes. Yeah. So it's V3.
It says the V3 at the top. Maybe have you changed the title of the actual thing?
I did on this one. Maybe after I sent it to you.
After you sent it, obviously, because it says right at the top there, V3.
Oh yeah,
on mine. Then
you've got the right. Yeah, you've got the right thing. Yeah,
you just changed it again because why? And you didn't relabel it as something V3.1 either. Just because you're a monster, sir. A monster.
Whatever. It's fine. It's like 95% the same. with every version that I've done, there's not many, but I've changed less and less and less because it's only fine tuning it.
Okay. Good.
It's a rule set. This is very much of the structure of War Machine, Steamroller.
Back in the day.
Which is all self-explanatory. It says where you get the army list, where you use the army builder, modeling, painting.
So it talks about what rules you're using. You're using fail first order, charging flyers. Oh no! Moving on, you get +1 on your first order as well. Charging flyers, partially defended units. Yeah. I think the partially defended units is in danger of being removed from the fucking game.
Yeah, but it may be. But it is, basically, Winter Roller. Like this tournament pack uses all the optional rules.
So, we've got something called flan rear charges. Is that like some kind of dessert?
It is, in fact, but it's also flank when it's Mr. K.
Scouting, advanced terrain rules, which I don't know if we've talked about that yet. Light cavalry's gone full Monty. Everything, get them all in. Full house.
And that's where you can find it. The army lists can be found at the following website. The only thing that's said there is because it uses scenarios, you can't allow wood elves to have the extra woods. And each table will have woods on them, but you can't allow them set up extra woods. Which is a scenario thing. Army builder, that's where you get it.
So they need to be aware that they're going to be using the war dancers as war dancers because they can't sacrifice them.
Yes, yes.
So that's a list building if you are planning on. I'm sure there's nobody going to be using wood elves. I'm sure there's going to be like maybe one. So if you are using them.
Yeah.
Your war dancers are going to be war dancers.
Yeah, exactly. So the army builder is always where it's always been, and that's a link to it. Then I talk about model and painting.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's just some general comments about you explaining your army to your opponent before you start.
It says about encourages fully painted forces. What about like token armies? Can we bring token armies?
If you had to, Barry, you.
I'm not going to, am I? But yeah.
I don't want barriers to entry, but I don't think anybody is going to take a token army. But if they did, then they would be allowed to use it.
I love the fact that my it must be my word is like grammar correcting and spell checking as we go along, because it's pulled up here that it says players will need to talk through their army before the game starts about what is in their army. And you've got two different theirs, look. Yep. You've got a little blue underlined there. You need to correct that one, sir.
All right, who cares?
And how it's nobody cares, you're not paying for it.
Yeah. So you know what it means. So basically that's saying that for example, I gave a Chaos Army that was all troll and ogre miniatures are Chaos Warriors, but this needs to be clearly stated prior to the game. So you just need to talk to the opponent first.
Especially as that Chaos Army could have ogres in it that are ogres.
Exactly. So it's just being stated out, like, right, this is my army, this is what it represents.
One little small caveat, that's a great word, isn't it, caveat, mm-hmm. is that we're planning on having a top table. That's kind of pretty.
I'll talk through all the list of prize support I've gathered.
So there's going to be kind of pretty, the top table, and videoed. So in order for it to be videoed, it's going to have to be painted, I think. That might have to be it. So that might not strictly be the top table.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It'll just be the top table that's painted miniatures.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the prize support, like, after we've gone
through
this.
There's nothing. Just give it all to Janice. That's... Right, sportsmanship. What's that? I've never heard of it. What does that mean?
You've never. That's why no one wants to play you. That's why you've never heard of it.
What does it mean?
It doesn't really need it to be said, but it's just, basically, don't be a dick, in other words.
Well, that would be better if you just said, don't be a dick.
Yeah, well, I can't just say that, can I? Says it in more sentences than that. Yeah, and it's like, and I will settle disputes, as a TO.
Dueling pistols, is it?
No, my decision is law. Okay, so clocks. So this is a big thing. Because there's a lot of new players. About half the players of it, I don't think, have played Warmaster in a tournament before.
Well, let's hope they've played Death Clock.
Yeah, so there will be clocks on every table, and I'll show them how to use it. And you've got an hour and 15 minutes on the clock to use. It's like, get used to timing your turns. Like, that's an hour and a quarter of your time, not the opponent's time. So when it's your turn and you're doing stuff, you're on. Yeah, your clock is ticking down. I know that a lot of the players won't read this document, even though I've made it available to them. And that will be the big surprise to them, is that there's a clock system. So we shall find out.
Paul probably won't enforce it, but back in the real days of this kind of tournament gaming and clocks, you're not allowed to touch your clock. Only the referee can touch the clock, because there's actually a round timer going as well.
Yeah.
And if you're fanning around playing with your clock and forget to restart it, and the round timer expires, you both lose.
Yeah. So there won't be a round time, because I think I can run around and manage 16 tables adequately. But I think if I go to 32 tables, there probably will be, because I don't think I will be able to get around 32 tables myself. So we shall see. All right. First round pairings, it's a random draw, but there are grudges and people have started grudges. And I will talk about the grudges actually as well that we've got accepted so far. Then subsequent pairings, it's a Swiss tournament, winners play winners. And it goes, it goes from 32 to 16 to 8 to 4 to 2 to 1. Mm-hmm. Scenario selection. There are scenarios in this document pack, and they will be a different scenario each time. And I will be done randomly. I'll probably at the start of a round, I will roll a dice and be like, and set it up. Recording game results. At the end of the game, both players need to come and give me the results, which is clearly standard. And you've got each of the tournaments is designed so you give a tournament point score of maximum 10. So your score, so somebody will have won, and your score will be 10 something. To Paul beats Barry 10-5. There you go. Terrain, that'll be set up on the table. It's inevitable that it's going to get moved around a bit, and I will reset it when it's necessary. When this is the big change from the last version of this, is that we've expanded the terrain. So in Warmaster, in Winter Order 21, the standard for the amount of terrain is 3 hills, 3 woods, 3 low-limit obstacles, 3 loose terrain, and 0-3 other pieces chosen from shallow river, broken ground, built up area, etc. This will give you 12 to 15 pieces of scenery well spaced apart. Now, that is the challenge, is then that is the standard that we want it to be. So that is the standard on the top table, for example. Will every table have that standard of scenery? Probably not, because I'm relying on other people's collections, but that is the standard that the tables that I provide will have. Okay. It continues. And then into the scenarios.
Some of these scenarios, listeners, if you've not seen them before, some of them are a little bit more serious than others. Some of them are a little bit more Blood Bowl-esque, aren't they, in their crazy shenaniganry?
Yep, we shall see. So scenario one is pitch battle, your standard game. I'm tempted to make the final a pitch battle, but we shall see. I shall decide that on the fly. So that this, you might end up playing 2 games of pitch battle, because it's quite good to start with pitch battle and it's quite good to end with pitch battle, I find. But we shall see.
So this is one of them that doesn't necessarily end up 10-0, does it? Or you don't get 10 points unless the person runs out of time.
Sorry. Yeah, so the maximum you can get is 10. Yeah.
So this one, for example, if you break them, and you've gained between 250 and 499, yep. You get 6 points.
Yes, exactly.
But the maximum you can get is 10.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the really random situation where you break the opponent's army, but they did loads of damage to you and you did nothing to them, it would be 6-4 against you, which is a bit random.
Well, you won anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You won anyway. Yeah, you won. So going forward, meeting engagement. So this is probably my favorite scenario of them, which really mixes up the table into 6 zones. 3 of the zones are rolled for your setup, and this is the scenario that requires a good scouting role in terms of to have some scouts, because then you can dominate the table a lot better than if you don't have any scouts at all. Mm. And you place your scouts down, there has to be over 30 centimeters apart from the enemy, and then it's the player that won the scouting, the opponent that lost the scouting role sets up their army, after scouts, etc.
I'll tell you what's even more important than the scouting role, mm-hmm. the role for who goes first.
Yeah, so you have to. So if you set up bad, like if you set up and you don't protect yourself against a potentially not going first, well, that is your choice.
I mean, you're only 30 centimeters apart.
So it's two orders. Mm. Aside from flyers, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it can't be over 60, because you wouldn't have enough space on the table. But what this one is really good for is, so it basically, if everyone played just the pitch battles, it would be a bit dull, a bit stale. This really mixes it up, and you can try to keep your army together, but it's on dice over to where it's set up. So you can obviously be unlucky in that your army is badly split up, is unproportionately split up, and the opponent can maximize on you quite easily. But that makes a really good, interesting narrative game.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you set up and everything's in one square.
Yeah, it's possible. It's happened. Janus pulled that off.
Who'd have thought it would be Janus? That I see.
Yeah, he's so, like, he was his defensive army pulled it off all into one table quarter.
Dwarf. Here we go.
Fortune favors.
Yeah. So this game leads to some what's the word? Not horrifically, but like some incredibly quick game results. Yeah. But it also leads to, if people get themselves stabilized and regroup, it can lead to quite a protracted game as well.
Yeah, so this is a scenario where somebody playing in the tournament should play this scenario before the tournament to understand it, basically. On the Friday night, we have the run of the venue, and we can play Warmaster while it's open. We have our tables, so people can be playing Warmaster casually as much as they like. But after hearing this, I would play this scenario before the tournament, so I understood it.
Yeah. I mean, you want to play them all, apart from Pitch Battle, you know that one.
Yeah, because that's the one you haven't played yet.
This one, definitely, if you've not played it before, it really will throw
I love you. It. I love it. And again, what tends to happen is you're right, the early game happens and some early moves, and then you do get two battle lines then formed up, and the game then continues, normally lengthways down the table.
It is definitely a fun thing. Right, so, take and hold.
Take certain objectives rather than just breaking your opponent. So this sets down objectives onto the table into like the middle zones and the outer zones.
So just briefly, these two are
four objectives.
Virtually identical in setup to the ones in the compendium. The scoring's different, some of the other stuff different, but the way they're kind of mechanically, they're very similar.
You put down four objectives, two of them go in the central area and two of them go on the zone A, on one side each of that zone A, and you score cumulative victory points for holding the objectives. Now, the important thing is it's a cumulative. Now, if you have an objective game that doesn't have cumulative point scoring, it's not really an objective game. It's just that where do you stand and die? Well, it's a normal game. It's just where you die, finish is all that matters.
Well, in the compendium, that's what happens. These two scenarios work in the compendium.
Yeah, it better is cumulative scoring. So, and you get nothing for holding the objective that is closest to you. But all that can do is give points to the opponent. So it's 3-1. And again, once you hit 10, you've capped. So basically, if you don't have to break the enemy in this one, you can just hold those objectives, which they're obviously not going to just let you take. And you can hold those objectives, score, and win the game. So theoretically, you could score 3, 4, 5 points in one turn for holding three of the objectives that you need to, the ones that score for you, because two in the central and three on the opponent's side of the opponent's side of the table. Now, so theoretically you could win the game in two turns and you only score on your turn. But the opponent has to let you do all that if you go, So this has been refined quite a bit in terms of where the scoring should be. And it was, originally you could score on the one that was closest to you, but we've taken that away. So you have to go take ground off the opponent normally.
When do you score?
The end of your turn.
The end of your turn. So you can score turn one?
No. You won't be able to score anything from the second player's second turn.
Where does it say that?
It'll be there somewhere. That'll be...
Well, I was looking for it. I couldn't see it. That's why I was asking.
All right.
Maybe it's in the preamble.
It's in the preamble. I will check all these things before...
Well, that's why I'm putting it out to you, sir.
Yeah, okay. Because
it's normally second player's second turn. It normally says somewhere, second player's second turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, it should. Take it as it does.
Yeah. I'm just having a quick look.
Okay, so the next one is Battle for the Tower, while he's talking about that one. And again, this is from the compendium, kind of, the tower and stuff. But in the compendium, it leads to a really crazy game where you're kind of trying to break someone and then maybe make sure they don't have the tower. You can actually get bizarre situations where if you get to the tower early, you could actually want to break yourself.
Which
is a bit strange, because why would I want to lose the game? But I don't lose the game, I actually win the game.
Yeah, it's...
If I can manufacture my general getting in combat and dying.
So you fix that by having cumulative scoring. You get a point for controlling the tower at the end of your turn. This is where it is. So you see in the brackets, the scoring starts from the second player's second turn. So I need to add that line. Yes, I know. I need to add that line into the other one. Yeah, okay. And then you start scoring on the tower. Now, the towers are all set. So Spellcrow have donated them as prize support. They're not the biggest of towers, but they are probably... some people's scenery will be bigger, but they are the set tower on every table. That won't be on the table for all the other games. That will then appear on when I set it up for that scenario. It'll be like, here it is, dead center. That's what you're scrapping over.
Nice. Spellcrow, the Polish fellas.
Polish company, yeah.
Very nice.
And Nick's painted them all.
Of course he has.
Yeah, so they've been painted up. Yeah, which is cool. So, and this is, you know, you've got to hold the central zone, and it's all about that. You know, yes, you get points of breaking the enemy, obviously, but you need to go hold onto that tower. And this is where, you know, the first, so the half move on a failed order, come, you know, especially like you can't just say, oh, I failed all my dice and I never got close to the tower. Well, your priority is to do the tower.
Get, you know, to
you
the
can
tower.
You can at least move towards it at half base every turn because you failed some rolls.
Okay, right. Last one,
traitors. So this one is a pitch battle with a twist, is that it takes away the blunder rule. And instead, it puts that if any character rolls a double six for an order, in addition to failing that order, one of the units they were trying to order, if it was a brigade, turns traitor and is now on the opponent's side. So there's some rules there in point six of how that is then managed, but that then unit is then the part of the breakpoints are redressed, because that now that unit is on the opponent's army and is for them to use from their next turn. But you know, again, there's a bit of luck in terms of like what this game does is it makes you make more really a good player will be very economical with their orders, because every time you roll the dice, there's a chance that you lose a unit. A unit goes traitor. So, how many orders do you want to actually throw?
None. Just sit in the back and shoot with my dwarves.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would favour a defensive army, but there is, you know, it makes it quite interesting. It makes it really interesting.
This one I find a bit crackers, to be honest. I don't even think I've played it, but. You've got 3% chance, roughly, of every time you roll a dice, one of your units going for Burton.
Yeah.
And then that unit, potentially, if you've ordered in, like you've ordered part of a brigade, that unit is now in contact and fighting the rest
of
them.
No. So if it, in point six, it mooks them, it minimum moves them 1 centimeter apart.
Oh, so it pushes them apart.
Yeah. Okay. And you can, so if it was the first order of that brigade, you can still do a half pace move on your stuff.
Right.
So you could back up out of line of sight, that kind of thing.
Right. So what about your dark elves and your lizardmen and stuff with the double? How does that affect that?
So it had to be a rule for everybody. So the game removes the normal blunder rule, whatever that is. And if any character rolls a double six, in addition to the failing that order, this just replaces that out.
So they don't take any of the...
No, they don't kill a character, nor do they have the lizardmen break their focus thing. It removes what is normal for the blunder. Ooh. It replaces it with this.
Okay, well, the lizardmen, they ignore blunders, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like...
When using divine guidance.
Well, their rule is to ignore a blunder. Well, that's the normal... The rule is that it ignores it. Well, this replaces that.
Right. So, negative for lizardmen, positive for the dark elves. But yeah. It swings and roundabouts. Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah. You can't make something please for everybody. You know, with the meeting engagement, the army that can set up unlimited brigades is Skaven. So I had to put a rule in there saying that doesn't apply. You know, as in Skaven can't get around that scenario by setting their entire army up as one brigade.
So how does this stop them doing that?
No. In the meeting engagement, in scenario two, it's like, so it's in, you know, occasionally, because of army
right,
rules.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
to like, then hang on, something could get around that. Have to fix it.
So here, as Mr. Skaven, I just order everything on with my general, yeah? And I'm only rolling once a turn.
Yeah, or twice and a turn. If you roll that double six, the chances are it might be a rat swarm that turns traitor. That ain't a problem. Now, obviously, this one is, yeah, is a bit adventurous. I like, yeah, but it's...
You wouldn't want the final decided on this.
No, this wouldn't be a final scenario, no. Because chances are it'll be Janna's and it'll be somebody like me blundering my Grail Knight, turning my Grail Knight's traitor. Yeah, that, and it's like, we're not having that. You know, like, not having that. So, yeah, it's very likely that scenario, game five will be battle. So they might end up, one of the scenarios doesn't get used, but that's the point. I've been to plenty of tournaments where there's a tournament pack and not every scenario is used. And obviously I'm quite pleased with this as a document. Like, I'm always looking for good ideas. Now, so obviously some really good scenarios would have imbalance of forces, But I don't think players are at that stage really where they would turn up to a game and they're like, okay, so this scenario, one is the attacker and one is the defender. The defender has half the army the attacker does. You know, so take your army list and reduce it by 1,000 points. And then there's different parameters on winning for attacker and defender.
Right. We need to wrap up, Paul. What, yep. have you got, what else have you got to show?
So just to go run through the prize support. So Warmaster Podcast will be filming the top table. So we'll take the top pairing of each round, and provided they're painted, of course, and we'll be filming them on scenery that has been done by Nick Wakely. That is my own now, which is going to be my default table to use as Warmaster, and it looks beautiful. Printing and detail are going to give a prize of 1,000-point starter army of the player winner's choice. So you win the, you get that prize. You say, okay, I won 1,000 points of that army. Here's my army list, some mission, and they will send it to you. Ooh. Cromarty Forge are going to bring a 2,000-point physical dwarf army as a prize.
Nice.
And they're also going to bring gifts. He's also going to bring gifts for all. He says.
He's a good lad.
Yeah, excellent miniatures are going to do a Dogs of War unit for every player. So with them, they know there's 32 now. So then they'll probably send us a 32 units of Dogs of War, I think, of various times, and they will be dished out to everybody. RPG Prince, which is a random smaller group, are gonna donate Dark Elf characters for everybody, which is I think that's from Moon Jammy's Prince, I think. Kaiser Rushforth, our sponsors, have donated one shoulder bag and three half cases to the event, which will be as part of the prize support. So the biggest prize there is the shoulder bag with a calf case in it. Trolls Under the Bridge have donated a 1,000-point Chaos Army.
Nice.
To the prize, which is obviously their range. A local artist like to us is doing a Warmaster painting, which will be part of the prize support.
A local artist?
Well, yeah, like you know who it is, but I don't know. Yeah, Matthew Street's going to do it.
Oh, right. Name,
Evan. Products for Wargamers, they say they're going to do accessories. So I said to them on their website what accessories are useful, and they're going to donate some. Irregular Miniatures have given a physical High Elf, Dwarf, Lizardmen, Tomb Kings armies. I haven't done the points from them, but they're probably all round about 1,000 points. Van Dyke Miniatures have donated Romans and Germans, so more of an ancients feel because that's the ranges they have. They've donated Spellcrow. This is cool. Already had given some towers for previous events. Have donated enough towers now. I've got 16 towers, which have all been painted by Nick, and they're like that's excellent. Their donation. So they're obviously they've donated something for the. I'm going to keep them because I need to keep them for future events. Pendraken have donated a barbarian and a dragonmen army. There you go. One of their armor blister packs.
Excellent.
So that's all the prize support so far. And grudges on table one, we have Janna's the Goat versus Jim the Gent.
Janna's going to win. Yeah. Jim doesn't have it in him. He's not got the eye of the tiger.
He's got the eye of the tiger. On table two, we have Ian versus Connor, and they are both new players to war, as in they've never played a Warmaster tournament, but they've grudged each other.
So they must know each other, unless.
Well, yeah, I think they know.
Unless they're like nemesis, you know, arch enemies.
So I'm giving everybody, rather than using their surnames, I'm giving everybody a title, there is going to be a prizes for just the new players. Now, obviously, I'm reliant on the new players being honest that they are new players to never play.
You can tell.
Yeah,
but, we're watching them. We'll be watching them.
So any new player has the title The Noob. Yeah, so like it's Ian the Noob versus Connor the Noob. And that way I can track them and they'll be in a pool just for prize supports, like as well as winning the thing if a new player does do that. I don't think the term noob is offensive to anybody. So is it offensive to you, Barry? Noob?
I'm not a noob.
Yeah, but is it a noob? Is that an offensive term? I don't think so.
I wouldn't like to generalize. It certainly isn't for me, but
yeah.
I'm not everybody.
So I've been off the top of my head, I've been listing people's titles as I go along, of like the titles, like instead of their surname. So there we go. And that's just a fun thing for me, because I've come up with some good ones for people so far.
Whatever.
It's just a bit of fun. And a way to tell two Ians apart, for example.
They both got two eyes in them.
No. It's in, like, they have different titles.
All right.
Yeah, like, and we've got, I say, we currently have one player on the reserve list. If you're really interested, if you're desperate to go, you've got to be in it to win it, and you've got to contact me and say, can you add me to the reserve list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm there. Yeah,
he's not like, shy. He's not shy on Facebook. Right. Okay. So next time we're going to talk about something different.
Yep.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be a couple of weeks. Nothing more than that to say about it. Yeah. But well, hopefully you get some more physical gaming in soon, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you say, Barry, you're the limiting factor. You
I've got
me.
A couple of games planned. I'll try and fit you in.
Try and
fit you in. And enjoy your weekend, whatever's coming up this weekend. We on lock on Monday, so that'll be good news.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's like definitely I've been working quite a bit recently. You know, we haven't found a positive patient. So take that
and party. Right. Yeah. So, we'll see you all soon, everybody. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber-jabber, fool. And get yourself to BlackGateMiniatures.com. That's BlackGateMiniatures.com.